It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, here we go, here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who is not playing both sides of the fence. Joe Biden speaking out yesterday in regard to the anti-Semitic protests.
I don't remember that ever happening.
Well, I'll tell you, his press team wishes they could forget, too, because Biden, in one breath, says he condemns anti-Semitism, but he also condemns people who don't understand why they're being anti-Semitic.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
Weapons grade stupid. We will get to it in this hour on a busy day. We've got protests up and down the East Coast right now at our elite college schools. Trump's on trial down in lower Manhattan. And man, oh boy, oh man, Jerry Seinfeld, who I bring up because, you know, it's nice to give a boost, you know, to the smaller comedians. Nice of me to shout out a guy like him on the upswing. Jerry Seinfeld swinging out last night in GQ magazine and saying Hollywood is dead because it's gotten too woke and political.
Everything woke turns to
also talked about how the culture has shifted and everything in between in terms of how we're just so inundated with content. But we'll get into it, all of it. OK, if it's happening in the country, it's going on here on the show. As I say every day, it is not a conservative talk show. It is an American talk show.
Freedom!
And all that really means is you don't have to agree with me. I don't have to agree with you. The country was not built on agreement. It was built on tactful disagreement. They compromise. They work together. We don't do that now. Now it's like, I disagree. And they're like,
somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
But we don't do that here. Okay.
Never hit anyone in anger unless you're absolutely sure you can get away with it.
Yes, well, under those conditions only. But regardless, you could be a Republican, you could be a Democrat, Libertarian, Independent. Just don't be a bang. There it goes. Happy Tuesday. For those of you watching Failavision, I'll be closing the Ingram angle tonight in the 7 p.m. hour. It's always exciting. Laura loves having me on.
What a fraud.
All right. Well, she kind of likes having me on. And if you missed me on Stuart Varney this morning, it is on the Fox Across America website where you can always go watch all the TV clips and things in between. But as for the radio, okay, they're calling this Biden's Charlottesville moment where the media lost their minds because they said, you know, Trump said there were fine people on both sides. Now, to be clear, Trump did say, okay, that there were fine people on both sides. But what the media conveniently omitted is that he went out of his way to make sure he wasn't talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists. Okay, to take a trip down memory lane, August of 2017, down in Charlottesville. Okay, you've probably seen the photos, the guys with the tiki torches that were marching in support of keeping up Confederate monuments. There were people on the other side. Violence erupted. Sadly, and tragically, a woman was hit by a car and died. Okay, when Trump spoke out in response to that carnage, okay, he opened, I'll play you the entire clip because you never hear the entire clip, okay, by condemning the bad guys, but then went out of his way to make sure everybody understood that there were other bad guys too, meaning the Antifa folks with the clubs and the bats who, you know, to be honest with you, provoked most of the violence that we saw. Okay, that's Antifa's thing. They claim that they're anti-fascist, so they shut down people they disagree with through violence. Okay, which, by the way, the definition of fascism.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
But never mind. When the media took Trump's words out of context, that became a rallying cry for the whole Biden 2020 campaign. He said he launched his campaign because it was a battle for the soul of our nation, because Trump did not condemn neo-Nazis and white nationalists down in Charlottesville.
And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally.
Wait, what? Hold on now. What? Hold the way. Oh, hey. Oh, what the heck?
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Now, I was told by the media that Trump didn't condemn neo-Nazis and white nationalists in Charlottesville.
The media is a bunch of losers.
No, I was told the Biden campaign launched. Do you remember? With the ad with the pickup truck and the noose, and Trump supports neo-Nazis and white nationalists in Charlottesville. This is a battle for the soul of our nation.
Democrats are so full of crap.
But that's what we were told. Anyway, here's the full clip in its entirety. And I will give you the full clip in its entirety. This is the one that set the world on fire because, according to the media, Trump said, hey, these guys were good. Those guys are good. Nothing to see here.
That is balderdash and hogwash and
But that's what they did. And the intensity of the fire hose coming out of the media early in the Trump presidency really, okay, created the lasting impression that Trump was praising the white nationalists and praising the neo-Nazis because the media reported it that way. And that's the danger, okay, to the national conversation that is posed by a generation of journalists who are just activists masquerading as journalists. The reason I get on the air every day and I go, hey, I sound like I get paid in tequila and Tide Pods, okay? And the reason we do such a loose show is because you need to keep it loose to have an honest conversation, okay? If you sit out there and you tackle the nuances of each one of these stories, there are going to be provocative things said. There are going to be controversial things said. There are going to be things that might even make you uncomfortable, but that's how you have a conversation and solve a problem. Okay, when you just repurpose the other guy's words for political gain, you just wind up tearing the country apart that much further.
Bingo, man, bingo.
So yes, I, the least educated, least trained man in the history of mass media, I have become a voice of reason, a port in the storm.
What the hell is the world coming to?
I don't know, but here is Trump's full Charlottesville remarks.
And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, okay? And the press has treated them absolutely unfairly. Now, in the other group also, you had some fine people, but you also had troublemakers, and you see them come with the black outfits and with the helmets and with the baseball bats. You had a lot of bad people in the other group too.
Okay, and he's telling the truth. But the media ran with that. As Trump dismisses violence in Charlottesville, says there was very fine people on both sides.
You are so full of shit.
He went out of his way to distinguish neo-Nazis, white nationalists. They should be condemned totally. But you had people other than them. But the media ran with it as, well, Trump says they were fine neo-Nazis and white nationalists.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
But amazingly, as every Ivy League school in the country has become a pro-Hamas rally, isn't that crazy? Okay, as a comedian, guy towards the country. Okay, they have been banning comics for the past 10 years because they said speech is violence. If Jimmy gets up there and makes a joke about something, makes fun of it, people are going to respect it that much less. Ergo, they're going to become more likely to attack it violently.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've heard of.
Which is not true. It was absurd on its face. Okay? When people commit violence, it's not because they're laughing their asses off. It's because they're wound too tight. They're lunatics. They're mentally unstable. Okay? When people commit violence, they're calling for violence. Okay? They're not calling for laughter. So you understand, the colleges who are like, get the comedians out of here. It's dangerous. Speech is violence. We can't, like, a comedian on stage.
He should be behind bars.
But understand, those same colleges that didn't want you joking about things because it might lead to some violent rhetoric down the road are now allowing their students to chant death to Israel. We need another infatada. Wipe them off the map. That's what they're chanting. That's what's going on. And the colleges are only starting to acknowledge the era of this because some donors, like Robert Kraft, who owns the New England Patriots, has said, hey, I'm not going to keep donating to a school that's vowing to wipe my entire people off the map, which, again, is the right position. And the colleges know it's the right position, but they don't want to upset the apple cart because colleges have become very expensive daycares for elite, rich, white kids who have lived a life of spectacular prosperity, spoiled beyond all believable bounds and want to believe they're some type of a freedom fighter. So their emotions are their facts, and the colleges have taught them to believe their emotions are their facts and accept that they're, you're living your truth, snookums. You've got to be honest to you. You've got to live your truth, your world, which is the stupidest thing you've ever heard. Okay, the sun comes up in the east, it sets in the west. Okay, if your truth is that it comes up in the west, you're not trans sun. Okay, you're just effing stupid. That's all you are. Okay, this is my truth. The sun doesn't come up in the east instead of the west. In my truth, this is what we're dealing with. So their truth is because Hamas, you know, has the darker skin color. Israel's the oppressor here. Okay, that is their truth.
Wrong.
But that's what they're running with. And it's Israel's committing a genocide. Never mind that there are 2 million Muslims living peacefully in Israel. Okay, and if they had a problem with Muslims, they certainly wouldn't be allowing them to do that. Okay, their problem is not with the Muslim faith, it's with terrorists. Hamas are terrorists. They beheaded women and children, lit families on fire, trapped inside their home, paraglided into a rave during a ceasefire. You know, everybody on the left wants a ceasefire. You know, the last time we had a ceasefire was October 7th. We were engaged in a ceasefire between Hamas and Israel when Hamas paraglided in and killed 2,200 unsuspecting people in some of the most barbaric ways you could possibly fathom. Okay, so you understand that's what the protesters are in favor of. We need to lay off these people. No more pretend genocide in Gaza. Somebody made me feel that way during the dance circle on the quad where they gave us free sushi and a dance routine to show we're against genocide. And because I feel that way, the school needs to divest from any investment with Israel or they're complicit in genocide. That's what they're going with.
They're crazy.
No, they're not crazy. Again, they're stupid. That's what they, it's not crazy. They're stupid. But here is Biden, asked to condemn the protests. And man, what a doozy. If you want to talk about both sides of the fence, if you talk about Trump saying fine people on both sides and you really want to, you know, get nuts and repurpose one man's rhetoric for political gain, here is Biden's take on the protest, clip one.
Do you condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses?
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
Should the Columbia University president resign?
I didn't know that. Should she resign?
This is the biggest schmuck I've ever met.
I mean, understand that. Here's the verbatim. I condemn anti-Semitic protests. That's why I set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. So do you actually condemn the anti-Semitic? No, because you're basically saying, you know, you guys are all mad about these anti-Semitic protests, but put yourself in their shoes. You'd be a little anti-Semitic, true, wouldn't you? I mean, that's what he's saying. That is what he's saying. Okay, but you got to understand where they're coming from, you know? Time was you could paraglide into a rave and kill 2,200 people, throw 40 babies in an oven. Human rights investigators have verified that that happened. But stick with me here, folks. You know, time was, nobody gave you a hard time about that, you know? You were pretend depressed. Okay, you've got a point here. So as mad as we want to get at these kids, we should understand the other people have a dog in this fight too. But do they have a dog in this fight? No! Guys, I know we're living in this age where nobody agrees on anything, but we have to agree. We have to be able to agree as a people. Politics don't matter. Okay, whatever the relationship is between two nations, between two groups, if one of the nations paraglides into a dance party and kills 2,200 people that are civilians, not enlisted in the military, not armed for conflict, nor expecting one, then storms the local town, lights families on fire, puts 41 babies in ovens, this is verified, kills parents in front of their kids, kills kids in front of their parents, we should all be able to agree that that's a bad thing.
He knows what he's talking about.
Yes. Unfortunately, though, I'm not president. Biden is.
Biden sucks.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
He is one of those iconic figures that fans care about.
from the Fox News Podcasts Network. Stay on top of the latest news and information from Fox News. Listen and download the Fox News Hourly Update on your time. The trending stories you need anytime you want it. Listen and download now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
So dig this, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Columbia University, up here in the Upper West Side of Manhattan, is going virtual. They're going into a hybrid model for the remainder of the semester in order to keep students safe. Okay, meaning, hey, we can't have in-person learning because we're no longer able to keep the peace on our campus. That being said, here is AOC praising the protesters, calling them peaceful. They're so peaceful that school has been canceled.
AOC is a dope.
Mike, what is going on? Listen to this. This is clip four.
Today also serves as a reminder of the power of organizing, of what we can accomplish when young people, climate advocates, labor organizers, and working people of all backgrounds come together to demand the future we all deserve. It is especially important that we remember the power of young people shaping this country today, of all days, as we once again witness the leadership of those peaceful student-led protests on campuses like Columbia, Yale, Berkeley, and many others.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
The peaceful protests. We saw Columbia, Yale, and many up. Okay, the protests are so peaceful. They're not allowing Jewish kids onto the campus. It's insane, man. Multiple arrests made last night by the NYPD, who is finally stepping up and being allowed to loosen up the reins a little bit. But essentially what you're watching at college campuses around the country is the end result of an entire generation of parents not spanking their kids.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
We've just raised a generation of, like, coddled, entitled brats who live a life free of consequence. Spit on a cop. Why not? It's your truth. I mean, that's what we're dealing with now. Okay? Light a fire. Go march. Support, you know, support Hamas. Hamas is a terror group, man. Okay? Here, I mean, straight up. They're designated a terror group. They were a designated terror group by our country, by the UN, by every country in the world, because they blow up civilians. That's what they do. Okay, here is Joy Reid also claiming, Joy Reid, that she didn't hear any anti-Semitism.
Joy Reid is a race-baiting loser.
Totally. Here it is, clip five.
I saw, Mark, these students singing and singing about peace and singing salam, you know, singing words of peace. So it just didn't square with what I was even hearing on television and television commentators saying was shrieking anti-Semitism. I didn't hear it.
That was embarrassing.
Well, it was embarrassing if you know shame. Joy Reid is beyond shame. Don't forget, Joy Reid is the one who tweeted some of the most vile homophobic things in the history of Twitter and then claimed with a straight face her account was hacked, that the FBI was looking into it. Yo, Joy, that was 2015. Any updates from the FBI?
I think he's got a point.
Yeah, the point is she did it. She's full of it. But anyway, she's a race-baiting buffoon, like an actual circus clown. I didn't hear any anti-Semitism. Oh, okay. Well, they are holding up sign after sign after sign, praising the Infatada, calling for the death to Israel, chanting from the river to the sea, which is all of Israel. Okay, they are marching in support of Hamas. We'll play you more of the clips. We played them for you yesterday. And you understand, they're viewing this as a political lane. We don't want to upset people. We don't want to piss this thing off because they vote Democrat. So we're not having an honest conversation about actual anti-Semitism. That's what's going on in this moment.
Correcto mundo.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We got a busy day today. Emily Campagno, the human happy hour, coming by when she gets off the outnumbered couch. Brian Brenberg, going to have a grown-up talk with him as well. 888-788-9910 if you'd like to be a part of that conversation. Oh, it's Jason Chaffetz. That's right. I just called Chaffetz Campagno. Well, Chaffetz look, you know, looks better in a cocktail dress than Emily does. Don't tell her I said that, but if you ever hang out with Chaffetz, they get a little rowdy out there in Utah on the weekends. I'm not. All right. I'm being stupid. Would you stop it?
You are a rude, terrible person.
I'm just being silly. I'll tell you what, man. I am no fan, zero fan, of Alec Baldwin. I have made fun of Alec Baldwin at great length on this show. I actually thought it was really crazy when the pro-Hamas protesters accosted him and demanded a ceasefire in Gaza. I mean, Alec Baldwin is a guy who can't even get a ceasefire on his own movie set. Okay, but understand, last night Alec Baldwin's getting coffee or doing whatever the heck he's doing. Okay, and a protester gets in his face and starts demanding that he denounce Israel and all the other stuff. And Baldwin ultimately snaps, knocks the camera out of the person's hands, which you technically can't do. But at the same time, if you realize who's on the other side of this camera, you're like, man, they're annoying. They're really, really annoying. And the point I'm trying to make, the larger point here, is that, okay, these people don't observe boundaries. They don't observe decorum. They don't observe decency. They've been taught that their way is the only way. Do you remember that? It's funny. Do you remember that John Wayne clip I played yesterday? My brother Mike gave me this clip. This is John Wayne. This is from like 1974. But he's talking about liberals and how they were supposed to be the free speech people that would hear you out.
Maybe I read the wrong dictionary, but I thought that a liberal was a man who would listen to everybody's point of view and then make up his mind. I don't know of any of these so-called liberals that listen to anything but their own mouth.
Okay, and that's the point. And that was like 74. But you understand, here is a person not getting into Alec Baldwin's face to have a discussion, but to harass him on video into taking her position, which is not being a liberal. It's being an a-hole. That's what it is. Listen to this clip, though. Clip 10.
Alec, can you please say Free Palestine one time? Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time? No jail time, Alec? No jail time, Alec. You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin. Free Palestine, Alec, just one time, and I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone, I swear. Just say Free Palestine one time. One time. One time. One time, Alec. You know he's a criminal. You know he's a criminal. Come on, Alec, just say Free Palestine one time. One time, just one time, please, and I'll leave you alone. Free Palestine. Israel, Zionism. Please say it. One time.
And then he smacked the phone. And you know what? Seriously, good for him. Because you're just talking about idiots. And I'm, you know, obviously trying to carefully choose my language in this moment. There's a lot of folks listening around the world. You just can't be spouting profanity.
That's not right.
People will get upset. Okay, and rightfully so. You expect, you know, family programming from Fox Across America. And it is. It's Manson family programming, if we're going to be technical.
That is correct.
But understand this, okay? Alec Baldwin is a jackass. Okay, punches paparazzi. He's always throwing all kinds of fits. Obviously, he did the worst Donald Trump impression in the history of comedy. Like, Alec Baldwin set back comedy because he took a role that a million people could have performed better than him. But he was so angry about Trump that he vindictively impersonated him every night on Saturday Night Live. And you could see the hate in the portrayal, and it was just impossible to watch.
That was absolutely dreadful.
Yeah, no, it was terrible. Like, he's maybe, honestly, the worst Trump impression that's ever lived. But the point is, he was trying to hurt Trump's feelings. He wasn't trying to be funny. He's trying to hurt Trump. He's trying to hurt conservatives, which, again, is the antithesis of comedy. Okay, comedy is supposed to unite people. Comedy is where we go to poke fun at elites. I can get behind that. But in a way everyone can laugh at, because you're not doing it in an effort to influence an election. Okay, that's what they're doing now. Okay, it drives me crazy when Alec Baldwin did that, because I watched Johnny Carson clips. Do you remember this old clip?
Do you get sensitive about the fact that people say he'll never take a serious controversy? Well, I have an answer to that. I said, now, tell me the last time that Jack Benny, Red Skelton, any comedian, used his show to do serious issues. That's not what I'm there for. Can't they see that? But you're not... Why do they think that just because you have a Tonight Show that you must deal in serious issues? It's a danger. It's a real danger. Once you start that, you start to get that self-important feeling that what you say has great import. And, you know, strangely enough, you could use that show as a forum. You could sway people. And I don't think you should as an entertainer.
But But that's what they're doing in the modern era. Like Alec Baldwin was trying to use Saturday Night Live as a way to sway opinion. Just the same Jimmy Kimmel does every night on his terrible show.
Dr. Fauci said that if hospitals get any more overcrowded, they're going to have to make some very tough choices about who gets an ICU bed. That choice doesn't seem so tough to me. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
I mean, gosh. And the crowd laughed at that because they're like, yay, they disagree with us politically. They should be shamed and ridiculed. Never mind that all the people applauding Kimmel for that joke wound up being wrong on the vax. Think about that. Everybody who said, let's shame the unvaccinated, they were wrong, okay? Because vaccinated people got COVID and died like crazy, okay? Not like one or two, like tens of thousands of them died despite the fact that they were vaccinated. So is that even a vaccine to begin with? No, some kind of a therapeutic. But anyway, I move forward. I think Alec Baldwin's a jackass who set back comedy. He's cranky, okay? I worked on a project recently in the same recording studio as him. Straight up, funniest thing in the world, because we were in a commune situation for lunch. And what that means is guy in studio one, guy in studio two, guy in studio three, they all wind up in like the kitchen area. And when somebody orders in lunch and you get your lunch and you sit there at the table, and you just talk about, hey, what do you do for a living? Where are you from? What are you up to? What are you working on? And you just kind of BS for a little bit while you eat lunch, get you outside of the headspace of the project you're working on. And then you go back into your respective studio, work on your respective project. Well, in the case of Alec Baldwin, with a group of other people sitting there at the table, people doing well. I mean, I'm not like a homeless woman. I have my own TV show. It's a decent place to be in life. But Alec Baldwin walked into the commune, looked at all of us, sighed, grabbed his sandwich, and left.
This guy's a serious ass.
And I wasn't there, like, surrounded by Fox people, and he was just like, ew, Fox, conservatives. No, it was just him not wanting to be around people because he hates himself.
This guy's a serious ass.
But again, I take his side in that confrontation with the protester. Like, you don't have the right to get in somebody's face and harass them into taking your views. But the liberals have gotten used to doing that over the course of the last decade. Yelling at people, shaming people, lighting campuses on fire, throwing stuff at them, bricks and rocks and everything in between, because they are not a party that champions diversity of thought. It's diversity of luck. We want representation. Just put someone from every race in every job, whether they can do the job well or not. Okay, to be honest with you, DEI is not an issue. There are millions of qualified people in every race and ethnicity because we're all the same. The problem is this administration has checked the boxes without checking the resumes. So you got, like, I don't know, Pete Buttigieg in charge of every road in America, despite the fact that as mayor, he was mocked relentlessly because he couldn't handle every road in South Bend, Indiana. Oh, I've got it. He can't handle his town. Let's give him every town in the country. That seems like it would make sense.
Are you stupid or something?
That's who they are. So the fact that they're getting in Baldwin's face, disgusting. The fact that schools are now shutting down in-person learning because they can't keep the campus safe, disgusting. So I try to find a port in the storm, okay? And I will say this. As much as we mocked Fetterman when he was running for office, okay, Fetterman has been one of the few actual liberals, few members of the Democratic Party, that has spoken about out against this in any capacity, okay? Because he realizes how ridiculous this whole thing is. In that you can't actually, okay, sit down and embolden and empower people who are agitating everyone else, okay, to the point of not only violence and anti-Semitism, but just the basic inconvenience of, hey, you can't go to the airport today because we've decided to clog it. Hey, you can't cross the bridge today because we've decided to clog it. Okay, somebody might die in the back of an ambulance. No big deal, because we're pretending there's a genocide going on because Israel kills civilians. Okay, that's what they're doing. And understand, the combination of TikTok and obviously the liberal media who doesn't want to upset anti-Semitic students. They don't. This is the key constituency to Biden's reelection right now in Dearborn, Michigan. Dearborn, Michigan is loaded with people who chant death to America, death to Israel. Okay, they voted uncommitted in those primaries. Now, if they don't turn out and vote for Biden, he loses Michigan, a key swing state. Pennsylvania, another very important state. They have a state primary going on, okay? And there's a growing movement to vote uncommitted because of people who don't like Biden's handling of the Middle East, of the situation in Gaza. They want Biden to side with Hamas. So, again, I'm not trying to make this political, but I want you to understand the political implications of what's going on. Hamas, a terror group that paraglided into a rave, killed 2,200 civilians. The people on the left want Biden to take their side because they've had it hard. And, you know, when Israel strikes back at Hamas, civilians die. Now, that's not a good thing, but that is by design. And you don't have to take my word for it. It's some like Fox News right-wing flamethrower. Here's Bill Clinton. Before he would get banned from the public square for admitting this now, this is 2016, Bill Clinton on a speaking tour explaining what Hamas always does.
Hamas is really smart. When they decide to rocket Israel, they insinuate themselves in the hospitals, in the schools, in the highly populous areas, and they are smart. So they try. So they try to put the Israelis in a position of either not defending themselves or killing innocents. They're good at it. They're smart. They've been doing this a long time.
Did you hear that? Okay, that's Bill Clinton in a room full of Democrats applauding him for admitting that Hamas is intentionally getting civilians killed on purpose. It's why you have to side with Israel in this propaganda war. Israel is defending itself against a terror attack. The terror group that's killing Israel's civilians wants their own civilians to get killed because it helps them win the propaganda battle to create a moral equivalency between them and Israel. Hey, whoa! I know we just paraglided in and killed all the civilians, but Israel killed some of our civilians, you see. Why? Because they're putting all of their munitions in hospitals and schools and crowded areas. Now, it doesn't mean we should be happy that civilians are dying on the other side, but it is weapons grade stupid to believe there's an equivalence between Israel, which drops leaflets and issues warnings before they attack to minimize civilian casualties, and Hamas, who only attacks civilians. So there is no preparation. So there is no defense. So there is no survival. Okay, the people in Hamas are animals. They don't value human life. Okay, if you value women being allowed to show their face in public, women being allowed to drive, women being allowed to work, women not being stoned to death if they talk back to a man, okay, then you're on Israel's side of this conflict. Okay, if you support gay rights, if you support trans rights, okay, you are on Israel's side of this conflict. Okay, Hamas does not give women the rights you have in this country. Okay, Hamas is an organization that stones women to death, that beheads women. Okay, guy rapes a woman over there. Okay, the woman gets stoned to death. How dare you entice a man the way you did? That's what we're dealing with here. Okay, and these college kids are on that side because they're stupid. These are stupid people. Okay, and I can't give the left the free pass of, well, they're young kids. They don't know what they're doing. Don't be so hard on them. Okay, but in the next breath, if a 10-year-old kid wants to make a permanent decision to alter their body, chop off their junk in an irreversible surgery that will deny them their own natural, organic, biological evolution, we should let that 10-year-old kid have full body autonomy to make a life-altering decision. So let them do whatever the hell they want at 10. But if they do something dumb at 20, you just got to forgive them because they're young kids. Does anybody not see the insanity of that? That's what we're dealing with. Okay, I'm not making smart points. These are very basic points, okay, that anyone should be able to make. But we're living in this moment where it's so hyper-partisan and everybody needs to beat the other side so bad. That's what it is. So they know better on the left. They know a boy can't have a baby. They know that. We've sung about it since the beginning of time. How many times have I played you the Mr. Rogers clip on this show? This is a 60-year-old clip.
Only girls can be the mommies. Only boys can be the daddies. Yes, sir.
That would be considered transphobia now. Because it's transphobic to acknowledge the truth. Just the way it's genocide to acknowledge the truth with what's going on in Gaza. Folks, the real solution here is not to run up to Columbia and try to kill all the Jewish students, nor is it to keep bombing Hamas, okay, and absorbing civilian casualties along the way. You might want to find an off-ramp. You might want to, I don't know, create something called peace through strength. That's what we had in the past, where America flexed its muscles precisely so we wouldn't have to get into a larger conflict. People recognize, oh, mom and dad are going to grab the belt. Mom and dad are going to grab the spoon. We better stop horsing around because we're about to get clobbered. Okay, we don't do that anymore. Okay, now the kids horse around and mom and dad are like, hey, you better not do that. They yell, don't. That's what Biden yells. He yells, don't. And then the kids yell back, hey, old man, you. And then there's nothing else you can say because they're living their truth. Okay, all of this. You can get mad at Columbia. Okay, you can get mad at the protesters and they're wrong. They're idiots. They're stupid. Okay, but it all starts at the top. This is happening on the world stage because we're allowing it to happen on the world stage because we have taken that step back as a world leader. Okay, we are no longer, okay, the mom and dad who get the kids to behave. And that's why it's spiraling out of control on college campuses across the country. If you can't stop it over there, you ain't going to stop it over here where they're living their truth, no matter how stupid it is.
We choose truth over facts.
This thing is going to become gargantuan when the Son of Man comes.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Jason Chaffetz around the corner, Brian Brenberg around the corner. We might get to your calls, text tweets, carrier pigeons, the whole thing. We do it all on this show. It's a nice thing about this show. It's an all-skate. Remember all-skates? When you go to the roller rink, they'd have, like, just the boys. Then they'd have, like, just the girls. Then they'd have, like, couples, you know. Then they'd have an all-skate. Everybody would jump on. The kids, the adults have a good time. I don't do that anymore. I don't know if they have roller rinks anymore. They have United Skates. Where I grew up on Long Island, we still have United Skates. We have the Skatosaurus, the guy in the dinosaur costume. Shout out to United Skates if they're out there. But in the next hour, it is very much an all skate. I can't promise you a Skatosaurus. Although we are broadcasting pretty close to Times Square. There's a lot of weirdos in costumes. I can get you just about anything up here for $20. But one way or the other, we will break it down. We will sort it out. And we'll have a grown-up talk about the Trump trial, which is happening in Lower Manhattan. We'll get into that next on Fox Across America.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, here we go. Here we go. Big hour coming up on Fox Across America. We call it top shelf radio in a bottom feeding political world because, well, I gotta tell you, if you look around at the state of things right now, you do really get the feeling that
country is being destroyed by stupid people, by very stupid people.
A lot of stupid people in both parties, to be fair. I don't want you to think that was a partisan shot at one side of the aisle. No, ma'am, this show is a show where all are welcome, regardless of, you know, whether you agree or you disagree. We say this every day. Be a Republican, be a Democrat. Just do not be a... Okay? If I sound a little mellow off the tippy top of the hour, it's because we got Jason Chaffetz coming up, who I love. We got Brian Brenberg coming up, who I love. But the news cycle right now is just gross. I'll get you up to speed on the Trump trial as it happens. But something you've heard me say a lot, it's got to be a mutter in horse racing. That's an old phrase. You got to be a mutter. You got to be able to run on a sloppy track some days if you want to win the race. Well, in talk radio in this day and age, you got to be a mutter every day because everything on the dance card is a sloppy, disgusting track. You got these idiots protesting at the college campuses right now on behalf of a terror group.
They're crazy.
Okay, you've got the border wide open. 10 million people have been let in under Joe Biden.
You have no idea how to defend a nation.
I mean, really dangerous stuff. And then, of course, you've got the absurdity that is the Trump trial. And I've got to be honest. Okay, the Trump trial doesn't, you know, like Trump, hate Trump. It's not my job. I am not on the radio going, gosh, I hope the guy tuning in right now agrees with me. I don't care what you do. I just hope you have fun doing it. You know, do something legal. Okay, but the point is that, you know, go live your best life. You live in America. It's the whole point of being here, okay, is you live in the greatest country in the world. Go enjoy yourself. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, okay? But if you like Trump or you hate Trump, You have to understand that what Trump is being charged for in Lower Manhattan right now occurred before the 2016 election, which means they could have charged him during that election. They could have charged him during the 2020 election, but they didn't charge them during either election. They waited. They waited until now.
This is politics as usual.
Totally. Okay. It is all politically timed. Okay. When you talk about classified documents, when you talk about anything related to January 6th, when you talk about business records. Okay. These are all crimes that were allegedly committed. Okay. Not this year. Not last year. Not 3 years ago, beyond that threshold, which again means if they really thought these were crimes, they would have charged him then.
That's true. That is true.
Okay, these trials do not exist to convict him in the court of law. They exist to convict him in the court of public opinion. There's a super PAC running an ad right now talking about all the things Trump is charged with. And why are they doing that? Because the process is the punishment. They want you to go, oh, it's always something with this guy. It's always something. Yeah, walk away because it's always going to be something. But here's a newsflash. It doesn't matter who the Republican nominee is. It's always going to be something.
Oh, you're right. And when you're right, you're right. And you're always right.
They literally said that Mitt Romney was going to put black people back in chains. Mitt Romney and his mom jeans going to put black people back in chains. That's what Biden said. Okay, every Republican who ever runs, a war criminal, a racist, a selling out to the elites, that's just the game they play. Okay, they're playing it a little bit harder with Trump because he'd already won the presidency once. And they really do see him in a lot of ways, you know, as a threat to the Uniparty, meaning there are Republicans that are fine with Trump losing. Plenty of Republicans want no part of Trump being the president because they can't control him. They want to go along to get along guy in there. That helps the lobbyists do their thing. They all get some sweet stock tips, and they pretend they care about the country every night on cable news. That's what a lot of these people are doing. So you understand, the Trump trial, and you've heard me say this before, so I'll let Jonathan Turley say it this time. He's the best legal analyst anywhere on television. Okay, explaining why this is so absurd. Here it is, clip 13.
What is clear is in this case, Trump is right. I mean, this is an embarrassment. I mean, the fact that we are actually talking about this case being presented in a New York courtroom leaves me in utter disbelief. I mean, the arguments today did, in fact, capture all the problems here. You know, you had this misdemeanor under state law where that had run out. This is going back to related to the 2016 election. And they zapped it back into life by alleging that there was a campaign finance violation under the federal laws that doesn't exist. The Department of Justice doesn't view it this way.
Okay, so you understand? They're claiming that we can revive this decade-old case because he was concealing a federal crime, except they won't tell you what the federal crime is.
You gotta do better than that.
Because they don't have a federal crime.
Bingo.
Okay, what Alvin Bragg's indictment was meant to do, and so you have to understand this, we had never indicted a president once in the 247-year history of the country. Alvin Bragg's indictment made it okay for other people to also indict a president. There was a calculated decision made to turn this election into lawfare, where the process would be the punishment. He's not going to jail, guys. He's not going to jail. But they want him on trial every day so they can talk about how sleepy he looks or how annoyed he looks. Or maybe his family's not even showing up to the trial. Oh, wow, that's crazy. So his family that held an event for him at Mar-a-Lago last week, his family that was out campaigning for him this week, they're not even showing up to the trial because they must not be talking to the guy anymore. See, they abandoned him.
Wrong.
No, they're not showing up to the trial because there's protesters and death threats and he needs a Secret Service motorcade to get in or out. And he doesn't want them there, okay? Trump's son was on Hannity last night. His other son was campaigning with him. His family's fine, but this is the kind of sensationalism that the media has this trial there for. Okay, this trial for them, they are covering wall to wall. Okay, right now, okay, if you were to look at Fox, okay, they're showing you the campus violence. They're showing you people protesting in Columbia and at NYU. Torches, things being lit on fire. stuff that poses a danger to you and yours. Okay, over at CNN, over at MSNBC, they are showing you a round-the-clock Trump trial. Is anything going on moment by moment?
The answer would be no.
No, but they use it as content to fill the void. You see, there are channels out there that legitimately get out of bed every day, and their job is to make self-hating white people feel better about the world. Doesn't need to be true. It's a placebo. Oh, Trump's going to jail today. No, you don't understand. He's going to jail. I know you hate yourself. Okay, you and your wife, she's not attracted to you anyway. You hate yourself, but you are rich, and Trump's going to jail today, so feel better.
People aren't buying it, CNN, you dumb bastard.
But some of them are, and that's the whole point of this trial, is if they can convict him in the court of public opinion. Look at this guy, he's a criminal, he's got all these indictments. They're all a scam. Okay, January 6th. If January 6th is a crime that he aided and abetted, you know when they could have charged him for January 6th? January 7th. Okay, you shoot somebody on January 6th and they know you did it, they usually show up to arrest you by January 7th.
I think he's got a point.
Okay, maybe the 8th if it took him a minute to crack the code. Okay, but the point is, everything that they are charging him for, he could have been charged for 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years, 5 years ago. In this Manhattan case, 10 years ago. Okay, but they ain't charging him for it back then because they knew it was a farce. Okay, they're now in a different place where we're in the send in the clown moment of Biden's reelection bid. He is polling as the most historically unpopular incumbent to ever run for reelection. Okay, so you got to get creative. If you've been following the Jack Smith classified documents case and you saw the redacted memo that was released yesterday by the judge, you now know that the Biden DOJ was directly involved in the Mar-a-Lago raid. Something we were told time and time and again by Joe Biden. No, we had nothing to do with this. I found out about it the same way you did, by watching it on TV.
You are so full of shit.
And it turns out he was briefed on it and he had his people on the case, just the same as they have their people on the documents case. But again, this is not going to end with Trump going to jail. Okay, it's going to end with him getting off and technicalities or appeals courts throwing stuff out. And then the Democrats going, see, this is why we got to stack the Supreme Court. It's racist. It's homophobic. They're climate deniers, all of that stuff. So the trial's value to the Democrats, again, is to convict Trump in the court of public opinion. And they do that by getting on TV every day and psychoanalyzing behavior that they say is, well, this must be the case based on what's going on. Here's Maggie Haberman. Maggie Haberman's job is to go on CNN and just psychoanalyze Trump based on nothing. She's not talking to him. They don't hang out. But they've just, like, appointed her as an expert. It's like the other channel has on Mary Trump, you know, one of Trump's nieces that he hasn't talked to in 35 years. But they bring her on like she's an authority on what's going on within the family.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
They can't get her out because these people... Okay, you have to understand how unhealthy these people are. I live in New York. I see these people at parties. I run into them at society events around town. Okay, these people hate themselves. Like, they actually really don't like themselves in an unhealthy way. And the way they go about feeling good is by mistreating others or pointing fingers. Do you remember the iconic line in Scarface where Tony Montana gets up in the restaurant and he goes, "You need people like me. Do you need people like me so you could point, you could point your fingers and say that's the bad guy?" Okay, that's who Trump is for self-hating white people. They need people like him so they can point their fingers and say that's the bad guy. So here is Maggie Haberman. Trump's so bad his family's not even showing up. Listen to clip 14.
It has been striking that there's no family, because I know that there was some discussion at some point in the last couple of weeks about
striking.
Who would be with him in court. And last week, which was just jury selection, there weren't that many people. Today there was a phalanx of lawyers from his other cases and from the Trump org who showed up in court, but I think it's because they were next door dealing with this New York Attorney General appeal. He is by himself, and when he feels boosted is by his supporters. And so he has been hoping for something of a circus around his trial. But the reality, Anderson, is that only 2 to 3 dozen supporters max over the last week have shown up. And they're positioned to protest slash demonstrate slash whatever across the street from the courthouse. Trump started trying to suggest on Truth Social that that's why the number's been so small, is that they're all being blocked. But that's not it. It's that people are not showing up.
God.
Oh, shut up, woman.
It's been striking that there's no family there. The family's gonna go sit in court all day. Okay, and to be clear, He's been indicted 91 times. Okay, it's absurd. But this analysis is there because they're saying, well, look, his family's not supporting him. That must mean he's losing support in the polls, guys. Hey, feel better. Listen to Rachel Maddow, clip 15.
I mean, I will say, just in terms of the vibe in the room, what you have heard about it being kind of a dingy courtroom is real, and that is not necessarily important in terms of the way the wheels of justice grind, but it is striking to see the former president, somebody who's tried to sort of embody the kind of luxury brand, sitting in a room that essentially feels like a high-ceilinged DMV office. Lots and lots of police presence, a very tense atmosphere, a very sober atmosphere.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Let me give you one more, Maddow. This is so funny. Okay. Clip 16.
I've seen him in person in my life a few times. I would say seeing him go up and down the aisle. I was sitting on the aisle and seeing him walk right past me in the aisle, in and out of the courtroom several times, including the recess. I would say that he seems thinner than I have seen him in the past. He seems considerably older. And he seems annoyed, resigned, maybe angry. He seems like a man who's miserable to be here. And that, and that's, you know, I'm no body language expert, and this is just my observation, but he seemed old and tired and mad.
When he came out.
I probably would seem that way, too, if I was looking at this kind of a proceeding.
I mean, my goodness gracious, you really listen to that?
I'm surrounded by idiots.
Guy seems mad about being in court. God, I don't know what it is. Time was people would be happy to be in court. You take a guy to court on a 10-year-old case that three prior attorney generals declined to prosecute. You invent a federal crime to extend the statute of limitations, drag the guy to court. I can't believe he's in a bad mood. I can't believe his family doesn't want to hang out. Wouldn't you normally be so excited to be there? I mean, this is what we're dealing with in this moment. But that psychoanalysis, that content, is so much more important to them than that conviction. They don't. He's not going to jail. Just so you understand, he's not going to jail. Okay? If they find him guilty for this, for a campaign finance violation, do you know who else got actually found guilty for a campaign finance violation? Barack Obama.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
But the point is, did he go to jail?
The answer would be no.
The answer would be no. This is the kind of thing that would end in a fine anyway. But they're covering it like it's the OJ trial. Okay, following him in, following him out, drone footage on the highway. Well, I think he sniffled. Now, if he sniffled, that could be in reaction. We've got a body language expert that says people sniffle when they're uncomfortable with what a judge is saying. I think let's get in. Can we get the sniffles guy in here? Where's the sniffles guy? A second ago, he scratched his ear. We have a scratch his ear expert. Can we get the scratch his ear expert in here when we come back? That's what we're watching right now. And it's a spectacle, okay? And it's there to fill this other void, and it serves a real purpose. They want you to believe this is historic, and in a lot of ways it is. But it's covering up a larger historic nugget, which is that these people are trying to help a guy get reelected who is the lowest polling incumbent in the history of our country, who has the lowest polling vice president in the history of our country. 80% of the country thinks we're headed in the wrong direction. They're like, well, maybe if we have somebody analyze Trump's sniffles and the mood he's in, maybe that'll help us win the next election. And that's what we're dealing with in this moment.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
Jimmy Failla.
Nice kid, but a little dumb.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Jason Chaffetz going to come by. We're having a talk about, you know, all things America. The border is part of the country. Here is NBC Nightly News reporting on the influx of Chinese migrants at our southern border over the last 3 years. Clip 23.
3 years ago, 689 Chinese migrants crossed the southern border. Last year, that number soared to over 37,000. Part of an explosion of migrants coming here from all over the globe. Currently, most migrants are released into the U.S. to wait, often years, for asylum hearings. Critics say that encourages migrants to come, and President Biden should change course through executive action.
Biden is such a disaster.
You hear that? 3 years ago, we had 689 Chinese migrants. 689. That's what we had 3 years ago. okay? Last year we had 37,000. 37,000. Okay, from China, our biggest geopolitical foe in the world. The ones who made COVID in a Wuhan lab. And then when it escaped and started poisoning us, they first lied to the World Health Organization and said it couldn't be transmitted from person to person. And, of course, they aided and abetted Anthony Fauci in claiming that someone ate a bat at a wet market.
Fauci's just pulling stuff out of his butt.
Well, Fauci was just trying to cover his butt because they were complicit in this gain-of-function research being conducted. But anyway, China, biggest geopolitical foe in the world, someone who was helping to arm the Russians in the conflict that we're subsidizing over in Ukraine, has let 37,000 people sneak into our country to do whatever the hell they damn well please. Now, I'm telling you this as your American teammate. You can be a Democrat. You don't have to be a Republican like me. I don't really care. I think both parties suck at this point. But the fact remains we are all more vulnerable because of this dereliction of duty at the southern border, something we'll get into with Jason Chaffetz, who's joining us next on Fox Across America. There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. The world is on fire, but we're not about to put it out. No, ma'am. We're just going to roast some marshmallows on the blaze. Picking up a stick, joining me now, former superstar congressman who is in the great state of Utah. He's a Fox News fan favorite. You love the Jason in the House podcast. And Jason Chaffetz now in the house via that fancy Comrex connection. Hey, girl.
I got my stick, I got my marshmallows, I got my chocolate, and I got my graham crackers. I am ready to just turn it on and watch idiots at play.
Let's go! And you know, I'm glad you brought a stick, because I need my extra stick as a weapon here in New York.
See, we have trees in Utah, and I can go out and get a stick at any time.
Well, New York has trees, too, but everyone's smoking them. That's the issue.
Yeah, exactly.
They're here. Are they ever here? But what a dumb time to be alive. Now, to the best of my knowledge, Utah is not they're not running a bunch of anti-Semitic protests on campus, are they?
No, we leave the idiots there on the East Coast. Thanks. Think about how stupid these people are. Mm-hmm. They're paying an incredible amount of money to go to class, to go to school, to learn. Mm-hmm. And their answer to be, you know, hating people of Jewish descent and to organize is to walk out of class. Like, oh, okay, got me there. You walked out of class, you idiot. You just paid $60,000 to go to class to learn something, and you're going to protest by not – it doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it's dumb. And, you know, what we're watching, it's – in every one of these big schools, you know, they had a monopoly for a long time. Like, these schools had a good racket, and people really thought you needed to go there, and this is where the elites went, and, you know, you'd be better off. But, I mean, they've got to be undercutting that mindset, especially when you hear, like, donors wanting to pull out. There was a panache with saying you cut a check to Columbia. But wouldn't you now? You know, like, when you donate to a charity, you want them to get as much of your money as possible, the highest percentage of your dollar. I mean, why wouldn't a donor just cut the check straight to Hamas?
Yeah, good point. And why would you hire anybody if this is the kind of thing that they're learning and they're not going to class, they're not learning these. Until there's a real consequence, then this is going to continue. Now, look, protesting your government, protesting and petitioning your government for what you're advocating for, that's as American as it gets.
Yep.
But when it turns violent, you know, the Constitution says you can – peacefully. They use the word peacefully. When it goes over that and you start calling for, I don't know, killing somebody, isn't that enough hate speech to start expelling these students? That would be the biggest punishment. Expel the students.
Imagine.
They can't get their degree.
No, I laugh at that because, like, as a comic, I watched colleges from about 2015 on. A lot of colleges started banning comedians because they said, you know, speech is violence. And if you joke about if you joke about something, people are going to be that much more likely to go out and harm it because they laughed at it. You diminished it. But, like, how does that square with actually just flat out calling to kill something? You know, because most violent people aren't laughing during the process of violence. You know, they're probably, you know, fresh off the idea that maybe we should go kill these people, which is what we're watching. So I've never been prouder, Chaffetz, to have that Nassau Community College degree hanging up in my office here at Fox.
Attaboy, that's the way to go. I'm telling you, the big education has really tainted itself. And there are a lot of good universities doing some amazing things. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. But it's not for everybody. And they've really taken the shine off the prestige that it took to get a degree from a Columbia or an NYU or somebody like that or a Harvard. Like, I would go out of my way not to hire those people.
Yeah, really. I mean, for two reasons. Okay, one, they're jerks, as we've seen. And you've got that anti-American sentiment and that anti-Semitic sentiment. Then the other thing, though, is they're also in the hole like $800,000. So they're like a little bit of a financial liability to the company.
Whoops. Oh, but hey, can't somebody bail me out? I mean, shouldn't everybody have to pay for that idiotic decision that I made to get my degree in, you know, gender studies?
There it is. We're talking to Jason Chaffetz. We're having a grown-up talk about whiny, entitled college kids. We've got this Trump trial going on. So let me tell you the funny thing about the Trump trial, okay? I'm watching in the studio, which I know you're familiar with, all the TV networks. You know, Fox is covering a bunch of things right now. They were covering Columbia protests. Then they were covering NYU protests. They just did a flash on the Trump campaign. What CNN has been running on my air on this TV for the past 2 hours, because they don't have camera access to the Trump case. So they just have a still photo of Trump at the desk that has been the sole occupant of their screen for 2 hours. And they cut in like a lower third to a box of seven people on set, psychoanalyzing what the goings on in the courtroom must be based on this still photograph of Trump we've been looking at for the past hour and 40 minutes. This isn't healthy, Chaffetz. Forget the trial. Forget everything else. This is not healthy for these people.
He lives in their brain. This whole Trump derangement syndrome, when people first started talking about that, I kind of smiled. It is such a real thing. Like, he triggers so many people. And, I mean, at this point, if you're already so triggered by Donald Trump, is it really going to sway a vote? Is there really an undecided person out there who's going to say, yeah, I think he's offending. I think that the over coverage and these prosecutions in general, for the true independent-minded person who much rather watch Wheel of Fortune and maybe do something productive like fishing, I think they're going to actually look at this and say, this is so over the top. You guys have been trying. And what's the charge again? Like, what did he do wrong from 2016? Oh, it just happens to be coming up 5 months before an election.
That's so crazy. I mean, really think about that, though. That means he could have been charged for this in 2016 if it was legit. He could have been charged for this before the 2020 election if it was legit. You're talking two full elections later, technically three if this happened before the 2016 election, and they're bringing it now. And any, you know, every legal analyst does agree on that. But, you know, what I don't think they realize is that, you know, that manufactured hysteria that they created in response to him getting into politics, a lot of people did buy into it, but they've kind of aged out of it because Trump's been in the public eye for too long now. You know, if he was all of the things they wanted you to believe he was, he would have been them by now. You know, there was like, you know, any famous dictator they compare him to didn't wait till like a second term to get going. You know, they would have did these things in the first term. Isn't that the whole hook of being a dictator?
That's the whole point, is that they have 4 years of history and people think back and say, life was really good under Donald Trump. We didn't have all these foreign problems. We didn't have an immigration challenge. The inflation rate was great. I could get a good mortgage and buy a house. My money was worth more. Life was pretty good under Donald Trump. And they can come up with all these, he'll do this and he'll do that. But we got 4 years of Donald Trump, and we got, you know, 3.5 years of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. So ahead and compare it.
Yeah, I know. That's the other problem. We're talking to the great Jason Chaffetz, is they don't want to have that comparison, as you know. So you get this comparison, which is like, well, the one guy's in court, you know. Biden might be old, but at least he's not in court. I'm like, but yeah, that also the small matter of Biden's DOJ indicting a political opponent. You know, they make it sound like Trump is in court, you know, due to his own malfeasance, and they played no role in this.
Yeah, and the number three guy, from the Department of Justice, which has 110,000 employees, the number three person just happens to leave his job to take a city prosecutor job?
Weird.
Right.
Weird.
Come on.
Don't you hate when that happens?
Whoops. What are the odds? What is the coincidence that that happened?
So bizarre. But that's where they're losing the average person, because the average person, if they actually follow this case, which I don't know that they do, but if they actually do, they think it's ridiculous, because it is ridiculous. So I don't know, man. I don't know how this is going to play for them. And I know, obviously, there's other cases going on. But if the first trial is any indication, we can expect a lot of still photography on CNN and a lot of psycho. This is what's going on. I'm not making this up, Chaffetz. The main center of the screen is a giant picture of Trump seated at the table. It's not video. It's a still photo. To the right, they have an analyst talking in a small box, and underneath that box, they have a video camera trained on the doors of the courthouse. Now, there's no Trump coming out of those doors anytime soon. There's no Trump walking into those doors. They're just trying to, like, capture this vibe, you know? And it really, it just looks unhealthy. But hold on. Let's move on.
I don't know. I'm kind of convinced that the only people watching CNN are Fox News people.
Well,
that's what it kind of looks
like. Well, most of their ratings, they do come from Fox showing CNN clips. Well, you know, when we do like news on news crime, we're like, look at what these guys are doing. That's most of their viewership is clips on the five, you know, making fun of something.
Well, since they're not paying to be in airports anymore, you never see them.
Oh, is that true?
They were paying to be in airports, but they didn't.
Oh, wow.
They don't have that contract anymore.
Is that true? I didn't know that that's how that worked. I just noticed
that. Yeah, they were paying to be there.
I just thought I hadn't noticed it because my flights were taking off on time for once.
surprise.
Yeah, I didn't know. And I haven't, to my credit, man, I haven't really been drinking in airport bars like the good old days. I'm actually behaved pretty well on the road. Like the one drawback I can tell you, man, to me getting my own TV show is the recognition factor is a problem if you behave the way I traditionally do. So I'm like a model traveler now. Like 3 years ago, I might have been getting dragged out of an airport Chili's by my feet, you know. But now it's forget.
What
I got to do.
What seat do you take? What seat? Do you like aisle?
I'm a window guy. I am a window guy because what
same
I
here.
Yeah, and what I like to do is I like to take photos of sports stadiums I fly over and send them to Lincoln. So that's part of it.
Wow, can't wait to see that on Instagram.
Yeah,
there's no, Pittsburgh.
I get some good photos. Like if you fly over something on the way to landing, you actually do get like solid photos.
Yeah,
I send them to
great.
Him. It's Jimmy. I know. I'm gonna put out a book. It's called
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. Every the whole book will be chapter 11.
I love that Lincoln's going along with this. That looks great, Dad. That's really fun. That is such a
listen,
good job, Lincoln. Roll with it, brother.
Listen, there are worse things for me to be sending him photos of from my trips on the road, Chaffetz. I was at Idaho Falls out in your neck of the woods. I signed 12 breasts at my Friday night show.
Yeah, right.
I can't send that's the record for the Everybody Calm Down tour. Idaho Falls is in first. And then there was a family that did their best. They knew who they are. They're probably listening. That showed up in Helena, Montana, and we had 6 boobs in one signing. I'm not kidding. My fans are rowdy, man.
If guys don't wear shirts to your events, that's their business.
Ah, there it is. Chaffetz for the win. But the point is, I can't send that to Lincoln, so he gets
it's
sports.
It's hard to do when they got those hairy chests that you're saying.
You'd be surprised. These new Sharpies. Ah, Chaffetz, you're the best. Listen, we'll do it again. Always a great time.
Thanks, Jimmy.
All right, I'll text you a photo of whatever I fly over from.
Yeah, I can't wait.
D.C. That's enough out of you, Chaffetz. Good job.
See ya.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
The reviews are in.
That is a disgusting act, and it's unfortunate that we had that on our air live.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Vaila.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Vaila, still pulling my life together after a rowdy Saturday night in Fargo. If you're listening on WZFG, on the flag out there, just take a bow. Everybody who came to that show, all of these shows stick with me in their own weird way. Like two weeks ago, we got to meet Lincoln the dog, and we hung out. Tommy and Laura Daniel and Michael and his lovely wife, Suzanne. It was great. And I told you all about it. It was like a nice family experience, great crowd, a lot of fun down in Huntsville. This past weekend was such an outstanding event. And it was not like one of my theater gigs where I was booked into a theater by my superstar road booker, William, who puts all the magic together. Okay, it was a situation where the station made the event happen, which nine times out of ten, if the station's producing the event...
That can't be good.
No, it just means they're in charge of lights and sound and everything in between. And the folks out at the flag, like, they absolutely delivered the goods for their audience. They delivered the goods, and to be clear, they delivered the booze, because that audience was hammered. That was a good audience. These shows all stick with you in their own way, but that was just, it was such a great event, and it's such a nice road trip on the way out. Brian Brunberg was a part of it. He was out there in Minneapolis with me Friday night. He's going to join us in the next hour to talk about it. But if you're listening on the flag right now, take a bow. Okay, if you're down in Orlando, listening on WDBO, that's where we're heading. Okay, Orlando, it is Mother's Day. We're going to be down there. My mom's going to be there. Jenny's going to be there. Jenny's mom, Judy's going to be there. We're doing a Mother's Day in Orlando. We're doing a 5 o'clock show on Mother's Day. Saturday night, May 11th, we're in Sarasota at the Van Wetzel Performing Arts Center. Fancy schmants. Okay, Sunday is Mother's Day. If you want to come have a really funny Mother's Day, if your mom's around, you're a mom, you want to have a laugh instead of going to a restaurant or, you know, overpaying for flowers or whatever the heck people do, come out to the show. Get rowdy with me and my family. You can get tickets, foxacrossamerica.com. And that goes for any city we're playing. If you want to see me at the Schubert in Boston, May 18th, that's a Saturday night. That's a fancy one. We're calling that the Rocky Four of stand-up shows because I'm going up to Boston as a sort of conservative and doing comedy in a very liberal town. Now, the truth is, if you're smart, if you're a good comic, comedy doesn't have a political party. I say this all the time. Comedy is a party. So everyone should be able to laugh at it, whether they vote the same way as you or not. And that's the whole hook of me going on the road, is it's completely ridiculous. It's like my Saturday night show. It's just there to make you laugh. It's not there to change the way you vote. It's not there to shame you if you disagree. Okay, you shouldn't agree with most of the positions I take in this world. Have you seen what I wear on TV? I mean, come on. Nobody should be agreeing with any of that.
That's true. That is true.
Okay, but you can always get tickets. You can come see us on the road, foxacrossamerica.com. In the next hour, we're going to have a grown-up talk about Hollywood, a little chit-chat about the economy. And as I talk to you right now, CNN still showing, they are on two consecutive hours of showing a still photo of Donald Trump on the screen.
CNN is the worst.
You have to see this to believe this. Trump is the center occupant of the screen. It's a massive photo. Then they have two people psychoanalyzing him that is in a live small video box. And then in the other lower third, they have other elements they're showing. Okay. None of which is live video of the Trump trial because they don't have it. So rather than sitting around and waiting for, like, you know, updates, rulings, they're sitting there and psychoanalyzing him like teenage girls who got dumped by somebody and they're trying to bond by bad-mouthing. Oh, my God, did you see that photo of Donald? You know Donald's in court right now? I heard from, like, someone in court that, like, he's, like, upset. Like, Donald is so upset. Like, you have to say it. I mean, we can't see it, so we're just going to show this still photo and sit here and obsess over Donald. Like, I can't believe he's in court. Like, who does that? It's so random. He would just, like, be in court, you know? And, like, that's what they're doing, and it's, like, so embarrassing. This is 2 hours. I've been on the air for 2 hours. I know a lot of the listeners probably think it feels longer than that at this point, but I have been on the air for 2 hours watching the same photo on that one monitor stare at me. We got Fox monitors. We got Fox business monitors. We got CNBC monitors. We got MSNBC monitors. Okay? We got CNN monitors. And the CNN monitor is showing two full consecutive hours of Trump's photo. Oh, my gosh. He, like, broke the law. He's going to jail.
It was made up by these sick people.
But it's so deranged. And to understand that there's a few dozen people out there watching this right now, okay, because there's no viewership on that channel, but this is one of the reasons why. Everybody listening has a friend that's told you about their coworker who they say is nuts, who's a little bit of a pain in the ass. But the more your friend talks about the coworker, the more you realize your friend's the problem. That's CNN. They talk to you at such great length about how Trump has lost his mind that you quickly come to realize they're the crazy ones.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Jimmy. Jimmy, back in action. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. As we go live, Donald Trump comes walking out of the courtroom. Brian Brenberg's going to be here within the hour to talk about it, but we might even take some of this sound live because we're bored and the news cycle sucks. And we're all in this together. But lo and behold, just as I say that, he walks away from the mic.
That's just how white folks will do you.
He only spoke for like a second. Oh, my God. Poor CNN after all that. If you just joined in the show, okay, in this moment, we've been laughing because CNN has been showing a still photo of Donald Trump for the past 2 hours.
That was embarrassing.
Because there's no cameras inside the courtroom. So they're just showing a still photo of Trump, and they have analysts in a small corner of the screen psychoanalyzing what Trump must be thinking, what he must be eating, how he slept last night, what he's wearing.
That was absolutely dreadful.
It was hilarious to watch, and I've been updating as I've been broadcasting live. In this hour, we will continue to do exactly that. And the point you need to hear from me is you could like Trump, you could hate Trump. It doesn't matter, okay? This show is a good old-fashioned talk show. Doesn't matter if you agree with the host, okay? I am a conservative, but I'm not doing a conservative talk show. I am doing an American talk show.
Freedom!
And all I mean by that is America, this great nation that we live in, was not built on agreement. It was built on disagreement. They made the Constitution the way they did so those disagreements wouldn't result in one side having all the power and forcing their ideologies on the rest of the country. There was a series of checks and balances put into place, okay? And the reason they did that is because they didn't want us to lose faith in our judicial system. We didn't want to lose faith in our government. But most importantly, we didn't want people to lose sight of the fact that we're all teammates. If you're a Democrat and a Republican, we're on the same team. Nobody talks about this in cable news anymore. You're never going to hear this anywhere in talk radio. Okay, but if push comes to shove, there's a war tomorrow. Guess what? All those liberals you can't stand are your American teammates. All those conservatives you're so mad at, they're your American teammates. So all I'm trying to do is give this country some perspective.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Some of you can dig it. But the second day of testimony in Trump's trial has just wrapped up. And CNN has gone from a still photo of Trump in the entire center of the screen to they're now just showing silent video of Trump on the right side of the screen and two CNN analysts analyzing him in small boxes on the left.
CNN is the worst.
But I love what they're doing because anybody watching CNN at this point, okay, for real, anybody watching just, you know, hates Trump all day so they don't have to look inward at the things they hate about themselves. That's most of who's watching CNN. And what they realized in this moment is like, hey, nobody wants to watch our anchors. We're the lowest rated network on the planet. These people do have a strong emotional reaction to Trump. They have just flat out committed to being the Trump channel, just all Trump all the time. So now they finally cut away from Trump. This is the first time in 2 hours and 10 minutes that I've been on the air that they're actually showing their anchors instead of Trump. This is amazing. They call themselves a news channel.
Journalism in this country is dead and buried.
Guys, my job as a talk radio host, again and again and again, is not to steer how you vote. It's just the world is on fire, and I say it all the time, I'm roasting marshmallows because I want people to have an outlet, a port in the storm where they don't have to be so angry all the time at the people who vote differently than them. That's how we wound up in this stupid place where we've got raging anti-Semites at college campuses, the borders wide open. We're financing both sides of every war we happen to be in right now. That's the result of the Biden administration.
We have people in Washington that don't know what they're doing.
And that should bother you, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. You can't, nobody listening who could call in right now and explain to me how Biden's actually doing a good job and I just don't get it. There's nobody out there that can do that. 80% of the country thinks we're headed in the wrong direction. Okay, the other 20% probably not paying attention or maybe running some type of a drug cartel at our southern border, in which case they think this is going just fine. Okay, country's a mess, man. Economy's a mess. Okay, the border's overrun. We've got a record level of fentanyl poisoning deaths plaguing our country right now. Okay, we're cutting hundreds of billions of dollars in foreign aid to protect other countries' borders. We're not spending a penny on ours.
Welcome to the Biden administration, home to the new slogan, America Last.
Do you understand? The only point I'm making is it ain't working this way. So maybe, I don't know, maybe try it another way. That's all I'm saying. Democrats could nominate somebody else. That would be fine. Country would benefit if we had a robust, you know, Democrat who could speak in complete sentences, not shake hands with invisible people, not occasionally wander off message and tell us cannibals ate his uncle. Okay, that happened. The president said cannibals ate his uncle.
Biden's lost his marbles.
But it wasn't even a news story because we're so used to him doing stuff like this now, talking to dead people, as we've now seen him do two times at public events where he called out to speak to dead people who were no longer alive. Okay, it's so normal now that it doesn't even hold up the news cycle. Like, do you understand if Trump was president and Trump was talking about cannibals eating his uncle? They would have ran that for about 6 months straight on the news. Oh, 25th Amendment, not good. He's not all there. Do you remember when Trump walked down a ramp at West Point? It was pouring, and he didn't want to slip on the ramp, so he walked slow. And the media was like, oh, look at the way he shuffles his feet. That's dementia. That's not good. You put this guy in some type of a hospital. He can't help himself.
The media is a bunch of losers.
Totally. But you've got Biden actually shaking hands with invisible people. When you talk about him falling on a way or Trump shuffling on a way down a ramp. OK, we've seen Biden fall in every type of public forum there is, so much so that he's no longer allowed to use the big boy steps on Air Force One. They have him using the lower cargo steps. So he only has to go up three steps to make it onto the plane. And even that's wobbly from time to time. Okay, and I don't begrudge him that. The point is he just shouldn't be the president of the United States. So when you look out at the country's just a disaster right now. And I don't want to be one of the dudes making it worse. There are a lot of right-wing influencers who are basically out there trying to make it worse. Okay, because in order to be relevant on the internet, you've got to deal in sensationalism. Everyone's in a race to the top of Mount Clickmore. And people don't click if they're going to hear a moderate opinion. They don't click if they're going to hear nuanced analysis. But if you hear the most sensational conspiratorial thing on the planet, you're far more likely to click, which is why a lot of people, okay, are trafficking in just garbage. And very few people are having an honest, nuanced conversation. That's all I'm ever trying to do. Okay, believe me, I know plenty of lunatic right-wing conspiracy theorists. I know left-wing people who think they can control the weather. Climate change. We got to invest. We can control the weather.
They're crazy.
They're not crazy. They're just making good cash off the deal.
Money, 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 money.
Oh, big money. So I get it. But I can bridge the gap between all of you because you can all be my friends. We're not mad at you. We're not getting rid of you. Okay. We can't condone all your ideas. Like if you're up at Columbia right now chanting death to Israel, I can't really get behind that. You know, as the dean just, you know, is called on to resign from every angle. Robert Kraft was on Hannity last night saying he's pulling his funds out from under Columbia. You know, some of us are being fed the excuse. No, no, you don't understand. It's a difficult situation on the Palestinian side.
That is absolutely the most ridiculous excuse I have ever heard in my entire career as a disciplinarian.
Okay, think about that. But this is how the day started, with Joe Biden condemning the protests, but saying you've got to understand the Palestinian side of this. No, you don't. Palestine is calling for the complete elimination of the Jewish race. Okay? There's nothing to understand. Nothing to understand. That's not okay. Have you ever played with, like, little kids where you're, like, babysitting kids and someone, like, smacks and you go, hey, we don't hit. Or someone bites. You're like, hey, we don't bite. Okay? I think it's well within reason to go, hey, we don't call for the death of an entire race of people. Like, bad, not good. Okay, this should be a known thing. But here is Biden, horrified over the prospect that he could lose significant support in this election, not willing to do what's right. Listen to this, clip one.
Do you condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses?
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
Should the Columbia University president resign?
I didn't know that. I'll
should she resign?
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests, but I also condemn the people who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
This is Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes?
That's all, folks.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests, but I also condemn the people who don't understand that Palestine has a point here with these anti-Semitic protests. No, they don't.
Step into my office.
Why?
Because you're fired.
And I don't want to blow the whole day harping on this, but you understand these are the people, elite academia, that deployed weaponized censorship, labeled the opposition to stifle debate. You can't have Tommy Lahren on campus. Can't have Katie Pavlich. Ben Shapiro's not welcome. He's a white supremacist in a yarmulke, which I know is a little weird, but just work with us here. That's what they tried peddling for the last 10 years. We had black white supremacists if they were conservative. Like, these are the ridiculousness they peddled. And now they're all out there on the quad calling for the death of Israel. Like, really think about that. As a comedian, like, you can't imagine how this strikes me such a unique way. Because when I was starting out in comedy, okay, you wanted to get booked at colleges. We were building on the legacy of George Carlin. George Carlin filmed a special at UCLA in 1984 called Carlin on Campus. And the pretense of the special was George Carlin was so thought-provoking. He was so far out there, he had to shoot on a college because they were the only people open to having their views challenged that wouldn't flip out. Okay, that's what colleges represented in the 80s and the 90s and the aughts. They were free thinkers. You went to college to be taught how to think, okay? Challenge authority, solicit other opinions, make up your own mind. Colleges don't do that anymore. They're now teaching kids what to think. They're not raging against the machine. They're being told they have to join the machine. Okay? They're not trying to stand out. They're trying to fit in. And they're trying to fit in with sheer lunacy because it's all cloaked in identity politics now, where skin color dictates everyone's value to the conversation. Oh, light-skinned, you must be a colonizer. You must be an oppressor. Dark-skinned, you must be some type of a victim. Ergo, if Hamas paraglides into Israel and kills 2,200 civilians, hey, they're just pushing back against their oppressors, right? That's what they want you to believe. Okay, but when you have a president and you have a party that's so their reelection bid is so contingent on keeping these loonies happy, okay, then they're unwilling to call it out for what it is. They're unwilling to stop funding Iran. They're unwilling to stop getting them rich in Qatar by sending over humanitarian aid that winds up with the same four guys running Hamas who are sitting on $11 billion worth of money, most of which is our foreign aid. But making it even dumber is the fact that our domestic energy policy is what's enriching everybody that we're now defending our allies against. Just straight up, that you don't have to be Republican for that. You don't have to be a Democrat. You could be anything. You could be apolitical. If you're listening to me on the radio right now for the first time, I know your first reaction is this can't be the real host. He's probably tied up the real guy. Let's stay tuned, honey, because the real guy's going to burst back out of this any minute now, and there's going to be a fight for control of the microphone. No, sadly, I am the host of this show. I know. It's crazy. You're listening to it right now like, wait, really?
What the hell is the world coming to?
Okay, but understand this. Okay, when we cut domestic energy production, okay, someone who is selling it to other parts of the world, what less of our oil means the world needs more of Putin's oil, okay, which means the world needs more of the Shah's and Iran's oil. So what does that mean? The people who want to harm us and our allies are suddenly flush with a hell of a whole lot of cash.
This could be a problem.
Yes, because Putin can only invade Ukraine because he can afford to invade Ukraine. Putin didn't invade Ukraine 5 years ago, okay, because he couldn't afford to do it. Iran, which has always been the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world, yes, they were funding proxy attacks left and right during the Obama administration, but it slowed down an awful lot under Trump. Why? Because they didn't have the oil reserves they do now. When Trump left office, Iran had $4 billion in oil reserves. They now have $71 billion worth of oil reserves. And on top of that, we have an administration that keeps giving them access to cash in the name of some type of equity or inclusion or something in between. But the only thing we're getting out of it are violent attacks on our people. And when this continues on college campuses and you've got a president who goes, yeah, of course anti-Semitism is bad, but you got to condemn the people mad about it because they don't understand what the Palestinians are going through. What the Palestinians are going through is bombs and missiles that we're paying for.
We really are being laughed at and scoffed at throughout the world. They're not respecting our country the way they used to.
You're listening to the man with a fashion sense that's all his own.
Looks like a gay bag lady.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Judge has unsealed the FBI files on the Trump Mar-a-Lago raid, and wouldn't you know it, Biden administration pretty heavily involved.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Pretty crazy. We're going to get into it in greater detail tomorrow, but essentially what they redacted in the memo shows that not only was the administration well-versed on what was about to happen down in Mar-a-Lago, but the classified documents they were raiding there in search of were actually something that the National Archives and the Trump administration were in constant dialogue over from the minute he left office. And within this redacted passage of the document is a statement saying that the transition out of a one-term administration is very chaotic, and what they were going through with Trump is something that was very common.
Oh, wow!
And if you read the full unredacted memo, you realize that they tried to prosecute him, they have prosecuted him, for something that other presidents have been in a similar position with.
That's not right.
But that's also why they justified it. They redacted the chapter of the memo, the passage in the memo, and then they spread sensationalized claims. Oh, he was selling nuclear secrets. He was showing them off, trying to make money off the highest bidder is what he was doing. And they used that as a justification. The raid was meant to convey the appearance that there was something far more nefarious going on. Then, oh, you know, the same thing a lot of presidents go through after they leave office. Mind you, at least he had the security clearance of a president when they needed to go get back classified documents a year later. Biden had documents from his time as a senator. Okay, not only did he not have declassification authority, but they sat in his garage for decades. Did we get any guns drawn on that one? No, we got a heads up that they're going to come by. Okay, he also had them at college campuses at the University of Pennsylvania, University of Delaware, decades after he left office, without the security clearance to take him home. Any raids? I'm telling you because I care. It's all a scam. Brian Brandenburger's coming by. He'll boost your spirits because I'm not doing it. I'm such a crank today. There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, fired up to talk to this next guest sober. Because the last time I saw him, we were out in Minnesota. We won't get into specifics, but we can tell you the beer tap was a-working. Brian Brandenburger joining us now in studio. Hey, man.
The carpet cleaning bill is on its way. You should know this.
Whoa.
Not getting specific here.
Well, let's talk about it, Brandenburger, because it meant you needed to say that to me. So let's talk about it. Because when we left, it seemed like we were on good. It seemed like I left your place and shoved off for Fargo on good terms. We took a picture. We posted it on the internet, but apparently as I was pulling out of your driveway, you were...
Somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
So I gave you a 5-star review as a host. Are you saying my Yelp review as a guest was less than 5 stars?
What I'm saying is I may not have given you a 5-star review as a guest. Ooh. That's what I'm saying.
Ooh,
here.
That's a low blow right on the air.
No, Jimmy Failla was... I tell you what, we had a great time.
Doesn't sound like it.
I don't care about my carpets. I don't care about damage to my house. I don't care about reputational effects. It was a great weekend with Jimmy Fallon.
Once you get past all of that, Brian Brenberg, good for you. No, it was great. Loved it out there. Good food, good everything.
That was good.
Shout out. We went to a barbecue called Smokey's.
Yep.
That deserves a proper shout out. Smokey's Barbecue, if you're listening, and we know you are, they nailed wings in a way that few people, we all eat a lot of wings in our travels. They got the wing game down, did they not?
Oh, yeah.
Smokey's can do, you know, Bo knows like baseball, you know, Smokey's knows wings.
Smokey's knows wings.
It's the Bo Jackson of wings, maybe.
Yeah, it was great. The shrimp was really good. I think maybe what Jimmy liked the most, though, is that he was clearly a guy in demand at Smokey's. It's
no,
fun.
It wasn't.
It's, you know, it's like trying to eat dinner when every 5 minutes somebody comes up to you and fawns over your friend.
It.
And you're like, well, okay, I'm going to take another one of his wings while he's over there taking a picture. So it kind of works out.
You stop it. But we did have a waiter come do material for us.
Yes.
This is the biggest problem with being me. Once you get past the rampant alcoholism.
Oh, the biggest problem with being me, Ben. Here it comes.
No, here it comes. Are you guys ready for this?
Here it comes.
No, the funniest thing I've noticed about being a guy who does, you know, some semblance of comedy for a living is if people know who you are, there's this element of society that wants to show you they're funny. Like they actually come up to you and identify themselves as, hey, I'm funny. And then now you have to stop what you're doing, and they have to tell you they're funny. And invariably, it's all... it's not a lot of funny. If someone opens with, I'm funny, I promise you, 100 for 100. It's like, I've told you this before, Brenberg, on the road. If you're a comic listening to the show and you're on the road, you're doing a private event. And someone comes up to you and says, you can use this.
Yeah.
You can't use it.
Nope.
In the history of comedy, hey, whatever you do, your little skit there, just be sure you say something about Larry, all right? Because everybody, they'll get it. Just, you know. So in the beginning, when you don't know any better, you're 5 minutes into your act, and you're like, well, at least I'm not hanging out with Larry, am I right? And you find out Larry's wife just left him, and his dog was abducted by Hamas, and he really liked the dog. And now the whole room's like, how can he go after Larry like that? And the whole room hates you. And it's everybody who, I'm just telling you, there's a basic lack of self-awareness to people who advise comedians. You can't trust their intel, Brenberg.
Comedic advisors are the worst advisors.
The worst people.
There's a lot of bad advisors, but comedic advisors.
The worst. You would take financial advice from a Madoff before you would take comedic advice from anybody.
That's right.
Anybody. Because at least the Madoffs are going to show you a couple of profitable months with other people's money.
You'll get a little bit out before you lose it all. With the comedic advisor, you lose it all right away. You lose everything right away.
Can I tell you a funny story? So this is a great one. Me and there's a great comic named Dan Natterman. Did Letterman probably 15 times. He's a really good late night TV comic. Really funny guy. And he and I were performing for a hedge fund in Connecticut once where, unbeknownst to us, a very popular young man was very popular with the staff, with the ladies. He was like a beloved guy. Had actually been arrested that day for some type of an odd securities fraud related to what they did for a living.
Oh, no.
Now, unbeknownst to us, the company was having the Christmas party that night. Be damned. You know, like arrest, perp walk, be damned.
Right.
The place was shaken to its core. Okay, but we had the party anyway, and someone told us we had to open on this guy. Everybody will get it. It's the talk of the town.
No, comedic advice.
And me and Natterman, we were there on stage for a combined 2 hours, but we were back in our cars without the audience ever knowing what we had intended to accomplish. Like, we couldn't say we bombed because they didn't even know we were comedians. They just thought we were insensitive HR people who wanted to discuss what was going on. And then for some reason, we're calling them alcoholics and mocking the drive up through Connecticut. They're like, who are these weird HR people disparaging our foreign colleague in the state we live in? And comedic advisors, guys. No such thing as a good comedic advisor.
Well, we got him. We got him this weekend.
No.
Thank you, Smokies.
No, that guy was great, and the food was
great. No, it was great.
Did the one bit. Okay, no, it's the other people that get you the one bit. Like, listen, I've flown with some people lately, and you know this because I always text you about it. I have flown with some Fox insiders. And what I mean by Fox insiders is that people have watched the channel twice, know nothing about the personnel of the people who work here, who I will literally get on a plane with the commitment to myself and my family that I'm not going to come home drunk on a Sunday from a cross-country flight. And then I sit down on the plane and someone goes, oh, let me tell you what really goes on at Fox. And I'm like, hey, bartender.
Two or whatever you got in your hand right now.
Give me, you know, the line of the Naked Gun? Give me the strongest thing you got. And the bodybuilder comes out in the Speedo. So I've had a couple of dicey flights of late. But the point is, we're back in good spirits.
Yeah.
Despite my low guest rating on Brian Brenberg's Airbnb service.
We'll bring it up over time.
No, here it is. Let's talk about it, okay? So Uncle Jimmy has a flight out. You know, we do a nice breakfast with the fam. We have, we hang out, you and me, time, have some coffee, catch up on life and the world. Mm. Go out to a glorious barbecue, have a couple of pops, and come home with the intended goal of finishing a bottle of whiskey.
That's right.
Which we may or may not have done. I don't know.
You don't know.
No.
That is the truest part of that whole statement. He has no idea.
I don't have to take any of this because the truth is, like, we always misrepresent my consumption. It's like shtick. It's like misrepresenting fat. What does everybody who says to me, meet me, say? Including maybe your parents. Hey, and they actually say it this way. You're
it's
not
true.
As
this
fat
is true.
As I thought you
My
were.
My mom said that to him. My mom said that to Jimmy Failla at a diner in Wyoming, Minnesota.
You're not as fat as I thought you were.
That boy is a P-I-G pig.
That's what they say on TV, and then they meet me and they go, you're not as fat as everyone says it. And if you hang out with me, you would also say, wow, you actually, you know, you don't really like drink like that. Because I don't drink for stand-up because my brain isn't sharp.
Yep.
But I do get tired. And in the aftermath of our big night out Friday, we were sitting around listening to some vinyl records, really good living. And I might have fallen asleep with a glass of whiskey in my hand, as I am prone to do from time to time.
The thing about him is he goes 100% and then stops. There's no, he doesn't like.
No, man.
Go down. He goes, and then when he's too tired, it just ends right there.
People always ask, who say, when do you sleep? I sleep like someone unplugged an appliance.
Yes.
24/7 straight, you know, wall-to-wall madness, and then at some point, it just stops happening.
I've seen it. Multiple occasions. That is exactly true. And I've never seen that out of anyone. You stop on a dime.
Yes. No, but it's
when life is over, it's over. Done.
But there's no wind down.
No, there's no wind
there's
down.
There's no like Jimmy has a ritual.
Nothing.
I fall asleep like a Japanese businessman on a sidewalk. You ever seen those images of the guys who have their briefcase in their hand and they're passed out because they were drinking sake all night? Except I'm not even drinking sake. I'm just falling asleep.
It just falls asleep.
That's how, and sometimes it happens behind
it's
the wheel.
True.
It says, so I've done a better job of that. I've never had any issue, never been like charged drinking and driving or anything. But when I was a new comic, I used to fall asleep driving home from late night shows.
I can see it.
I wrecked a car twice, and it's the most embarrassing thing in the world is when the cop shows up and realizes you're sober.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you're just a moron? And
you're
I'm like, no,
naturally.
I have a thing where I will work so hard. Look, I went to Fargo. I met everyone there. We had a pre-show meet and greet. You might meet 500 people. Okay, then you have a post-show where you'll meet everybody in the lobby. Then you go to an after party with the station. And with the station, this is how it goes down. This is great. So with the station, we had a tasteful, like, 5 or 6 people private affair at the end of the evening where we all had a drink. They ordered food and ate it in front of me and laughed at me because I don't eat. You know, my travel regimen is
I eat
when I get back home. It's a whole to-do. So they dropped me off at the hotel at a very reasonable hour. It might have been midnight. It wasn't bad. But in the outfit I had performed in, okay, I sat down, put my suitcase on the bag to start packing for Sunday morning and woke up Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Sitting straight up like an old Polish wake where they embalmed the person and put him in a rocking chair.
Yeah.
I fell asleep straight up in what I went to the show in and just woke up at 8:10 on Sunday morning with a flight to catch 3 hours away and made it.
I just want you to notice how he carefully worked the words tasteful and reasonable into that. That was very intentional. Getting those words in, he's planting seeds with you right now.
You know what?
You suck, you jackass.
Brian Brenberg is in studio, much to our chagrin. No, we're having a nice time. But I said my bit about comedy advisory because I think it parallels very well with some of the advice being doled out up the road at Columbia right now. There's a lot of bad advice being given out. And, our mutual friend Mike Rowe had the greatest tweet I've ever read today. He was talking about And this is what I wanted your opinion on as a business host. He was talking about the fact that he's like, just a reminder that at MicroWorks, our foundation to teach kid trades, they will not be taught to hate America or call for the eradication of Israel. Yeah. They will get paid apprenticeships, though, and they'll make it out of school without being $800,000 in debt. My question to you, it's twofold. Is one, I do believe that the big elite schools are really peeing away the monopoly and the good racket they had going.
Oh, for sure.
Because it would seem as if that degree has to be worth less in the moment of what we're witnessing. But two is Mike Rowe onto something to say that working those trades really is the future of this economy?
Yeah, I mean, I think the tents on the lawn are kind of truth in advertising.
Yeah.
That's sort of reflective of the quality of the education you're getting.
Yeah.
That's what you're fit for, a tent,
yeah.
Right? but I was out at the Dave Ramsey conference this
weekend. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, same thing. Like Mike Rowe was there as well. So he was talking about this. But the point is there, those people are so busy working hard, getting skills, making lives better, employing people, that you don't have time for the stupidity. You don't have time. I think the secret to human life is not giving yourself time for the stupid stuff.
Because you want to know what it is? There's an efficiency to success. Successful people are efficient.
Yes.
Okay. Calling for the elimination of Israel is inefficient. Now you've got to eat sushi and do an interpretive dance on the quad. You got to sleep in a tent with a bunch of other rich white kids for 5 days. Like, if you want to go out there and make your own money, you just got to do it to it. You got to go work.
But and the sad thing is what you also can see is kids who go to college actually don't have that much to do.
Yeah.
They're paying a ton of money to supposedly be with all these smart professors, and nobody actually has anything to do. They don't have any deadlines. They don't have any stuff that has to get done. All they're getting is extensions all the time. So it's not only just morally reprehensible, but it's a complete waste of time and talent and resources. Utterly wasteful.
Not to mention you're leaving this party with $600,000 worth of debt.
And debt for all of it.
You hate the country you live in. But you owe it $600,000. Now, they might forgive $20,000 of it, you know.
Right.
But the point is, they've really taken people backwards now who are enrolling into these schools. I don't doubt plenty of people graduating and making good livings. But
not these guys.
I was going to say, there's that many more people that, you can't hire these guys.
Isn't that crazy how, like, you're right. It's not just a little backwards or it was a stall out in life. These guys have gone backwards leaps. They have unlearned things they figured out in second grade. They've forgotten them. Like, basic moral and ethical principles are gone. Second grade level stuff has been destroyed.
So it's funny that you say second grade, because I was talking about how just bereft of any self-awareness these people have become. Okay. And the comparison I made earlier was, if you're ever overseeing toddlers and one of them smacks the other, you grab them and you're like, you know, Bobby, we don't hit. You know what I mean? Or if he bites his friend, you go, Billy, we don't bite. Okay. You wouldn't even have to say to a kid, we don't call for the eradication of an entire race. Like, it would seem like these kids were told we don't hit, we don't bite. The fact that they apparently needed to be told that other thing too, and clearly weren't. But how are they not? Is this the danger? This is my question to you. Is this the danger of the echo chamber mentality? Mm-hmm. Which, if no one is going to challenge your orthodoxy, and they're going to get shouted down if they do, you almost become a threat to yourself and everyone around you, because you just keep green lighting bad ideas.
You keep green lighting bad ideas. The secret to free speech is you create a lot of room, but the boundaries are really clear.
Yeah.
As soon as you go over this boundary, you've gotten away from free speech and you're toast.
Yeah.
And everybody's got to know the you're toast line.
Mm-hmm.
These guys got to the you're toast line, and nobody made toast.
No, there was no toast.
They just buttered the bread some more, and they said, okay, well, this is what we do. You've got to have that boundary.
Now, in their defense, the patriarchy ate a lot of toast.
That's right.
And that's white flour? Why does it have to be white flour? Why can't we have multigrain? Fox business host only wants white flour. Now he's toast. This is a check your privilege, Brent Burke.
You got me back.
I am sorry for the hurt we have caused. During this interview, which is taking place on stolen land, mind you, we always like to say. No, it's the dumbest time there's ever been to be alive. And there's a part of me that's glad people are starting to see this for what it is. Because, you know, the truth is the country we have such a dearth of common culture, things we all agree on now. That's why I always yell that entertainment should be entertaining,
right.
Music should be musical. And if we're at a place now where we can't agree, okay, that the terrorists are bad, you know, we're in a dangerous spot. That's a dangerous spot. And I've played this clip 1,000 times on the show of Bill Clinton trashing Hamas at speaking engagements for embedding with civilians and hospitals and schools and getting a raucous applause break from a room full of Democrats who have now completely abandoned what we all knew to be true.
Everybody needs to go home.
Yeah, that's
everybody's got to go back home.
Uh-huh.
That's it. They're all out in the social media sphere, or they're all out on campus, and you've lost. Go home.
You've lost it. Okay. You've all turned into a bunch of comedy advisors. It's time to leave the gig.
Go home to mommy. Go home. Bye. Go home to mommy. Go home to mommy.
Jimmy Fallon.
He's got great charisma.
Yeah.
He's always dressed fantastic. He has what I call it.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. We are in the bottom of the ninth, and it is official. We're broadcast from the White House Correspondents' Dinner this Saturday for 2 hours. 2 hours on the red carpet with all the celebrities, the other media figures. It's going to be a wild one. Buckle up, Buttercup. You better check it out. It's this Saturday from 9 to 11 Eastern. It is Fox News Saturday Night, a two-hour edition. You get some bonus. You get some bonus Jimmy Fallon. And that sound effect does sum up the intellect of the show. That is very much my sensibility. But this show is over. Pay up. Get out. Go enjoy your American privilege. You live in the greatest country in the world. Yeah, we're not playing championship ball right now, but we'll be back on track. We just need a coaching change. So go enjoy your life. Be a Republican. Be a Democrat. Just don't be a...
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.